intuition and clairvoyance are a product of the number of points of reference you have established with your mental senses. Clairvoyance refers to psychic sensing in general, but there are various forms of sensing. Clairvoyance means clear vision, and clairvoyance applies more to visual people. If your mode of processing information in the objective dimension is visual, you may have a tendency then to be clairvoyant. Clairsentient means clear feeling. Kinesthetic people who sense information or process information mostly through their sense of touch will have a tendency to be clairsentient. Clairaudience means clear hearing. And again, auditory people who register and process information more by way of their sense of hearing will tend to lean more on their inner voice. If possible, it's best to use all three modes of sensing information, both in the objective dimension as in the subjective dimension. This will give you a more complete and accurate experience and the ability to establish more points of reference as you go. A person buying a used car who is mostly visual will use eyesight to detect car problems, will check the paint, will look for dents. If all appears well, the visual person will say, "This is a great car, I think I'll buy it." The auditory person will listen to how smoothly the engine runs, if the car sounds good. They honk the horn, they kick the tire to hear how it sounds. The auditory person will evaluate the car as well and say, "Gee, what a great car, I think I'll buy it." And the kinesthetic person will feel for imperfections, touching the hood to feel the engine running and bouncing on the seats to check the upholstery. If all these things feel good, then the kinesthetic person will say, "This is a great car, I think I'll buy it." Such will be your experience when you're operating in the spiritual dimension. It's also interesting to notice how when we were little, even before birth, we are already registering points of reference with our sensing mechanism. In utero, a fetus is already registering information like temperature, maybe light or shades of light, sounds, the heartbeat, blood flowing. And after being born, the child continues to establish thousands, if not millions, of points of reference with what they see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. And that can be observed in a child who just begins barely to crawl and then to walk. I remember with my daughters when they were young and had just learned to crawl, they were suddenly free. They were free to explore all over the house. And when the day came that they learned to crawl up the stairs, their whole environment doubled in size. It was interesting to see them trying to crawl down from the stairs. You could see their arms just reaching down cautiously to the step below them in fear of tumbling over. Then one day I turned their bodies around and they learned that it would be much easier and safer to crawl down the stairs backwards. Well, suddenly they went from the downstairs to the upstairs and back and forth, up and down, all over the place. When they began walking, that was a whole different story. Now they were everywhere. And then again, when they began to ride their tricycles, that was quite an experience as well. And notice what all it took for them to be able to maneuver the tricycle, to be able to coordinate their feet with their arms and the steering of the tricycle to take it to places. All that required for them to establish points of reference with their physical senses. Then one day you say, "Let's go outside and take the tricycle out to play. But don't get too close to the end of the driveway because the street's there and I don't want you to get hurt. And watch out with the anthill over here. And don't get too close to the rose bushes because you might get hurt." So you establish points of reference for them to stay safe within the boundaries that they're traveling in, that they're experiencing. Then suddenly they graduated to a bicycle with training wheels. The day comes that you take off those training wheels and you let them go all by themselves, and suddenly they're free and their environment has gotten bigger. Now they're going up and down the block by themselves and you're outside watching them, just making sure that they're doing okay and they're being safe. and you tell them about the traffic, and you tell them about the dog down the block, and you tell them about rain clouds and thunder and lightning. And all these are points of reference for them to be able to go out farther into their environment and yet come back home safely. Well, days pass and they're doing fine and there's no problem whatsoever. One of your friends comes over to visit and says, "I didn't know the girls were allowed to go to the mall on their bikes." And you say, "What? The mall's like 3 miles away. What do you mean?" And sure enough, here come the girls, very happy and a little flustered and a little sweaty. And you ask them, "Where were you?" "Oh, we went to the mall." "The mall? How did you get to the mall?" And they tell you, "We went down 3 blocks to where the church is, and at the church, we made a left and took that for about another 10 blocks, and then at that little grocery store, we made a left. 3 blocks later, we made a right. We went down 2 miles, and there was a mall." Well, see, that's the value of points of reference. Those are markers, and those markers allowed them to go out into their environment and come back home safely. You know, some children get on motorcycles and go from town to town. Others get into their cars and go from state to state. Other children get into planes and they go from country to country or continent to continent. And some children get into rockets and they go out into space and they come back. The more points of reference you establish with your physical senses, the farther out you go into your physical environment, and then you can come back home safely. The same is true about your mental subjective senses. The more points of reference you establish with your mental senses, the better you're able to get around in this mental environment, gather information, bring it back, and apply it towards solving problems. But notice, you are projecting your senses wherever you need to project them. Anytime you're experiencing information, when you function internally, you want to make comparisons with light, odors, intensity of light, with solidity of material, taste, with sound, density, all those things. Because as you do that, you're able to establish more and more points of reference and then look for what's the difference that makes the difference. Whenever you sense information that seems similar to something else, you want to ask yourself, what's the difference that makes the difference here? And this is what we call subjective education. It's interesting that although we're spirit beings having a human experience, we were never taught how to evolve our subjective spiritual senses, how to understand and discern what we were sensing with our subjective senses, and that's our true nature. We took the path of least resistance instead. And we focused on what was more concrete, what I could see, hear, taste, touch, and smell with my physical senses. And we limited ourselves tremendously in how we could go out and get information to be applied to solving problems. But now you know better. Now you know how to educate yourself and be able to discern that information with your subjective senses that have no boundaries of time or dimensions. Charles de Gaulle once said, "We may well go to the moon, but that's not far. The greatest distance we have to cover still lies within us."